Bless.
Yes, sir.
You ready to hear?
Yes, sir.
How about seeing?
Yes, sir.
How about understanding?
Yes, sir.
How about being able to apply it in your life?
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. So may God grace us with his presence, and may the Holy Spirit be able to do what he wants to do in this house. You may be seated. There's a life you're supposed to be living, but you won't be able to live it unless you have some understanding of how to live it. You can go to church, you can sing, you can clap your hand, you can get happy, but there's a life that you're supposed to be living, but there are certain things you have to know. So turn to Ephesians 2:10. I want them to put that on the board in the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 2:10. And then let's find out how to get there. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Bible. They'll put it up. I have it here on my pad. Immaturity, get this down. Immaturity is the robber of the good life. The greatest robber in man's life, even though he may be a Christian or a woman, is spiritual immaturity. Now, I'm going to say something that is not going to take context until further down the line, but your priesthood assignment is waiting on you. Your priesthood. Every believer has a priesthood assignment that is waiting on them. All right, Holy Spirit, I got it. In order to understand, you ordained to live the good life. That's good enough for that. In order to understand your priesthood assignment, there must be revelation. You listening? Now, your soul is an imitator. Your soul will imitate that it is your spirit. And you think you're hearing from God, but you're hearing from Satan. Everything that happened in the supernatural is not from God. Bible says he can change himself into an angel of light. Satan can. And so unless we have the police of discernment, is the spiritual police to know what the traffic is and who doing what. So this immaturity have robbed us. And here we need to have enlightenment in our spirit that our soul will not rule us. Now, you know, I have new people here, and so I have to deal with it. I'm going to talk about law and order in your spirit, soul, and body. Law and order in your spirit, soul, and body. When that happens, when you get the law straight, the law of God's word straight in your spirit, then your soul, listen, and your body are supposed to be vehicles. They don't supposed to be driving. Your mind don't supposed to be driving you. Your emotion don't supposed to be driving you. You don't feel nothing, you know God there. But they will drive if you don't know no better. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And the church have not known how to rightly divide the spirit, soul, and body. So a lot of times the soulish man is imitating the spirit man. And the soulish man can't go where the spirit man go. And so we pray, we say, we decree, we announce, but yet it's not moving because it's a possibility that you're operating out your soul and not your spirit. And so we found out as biblical students here in Hebrew, go Hebrew 4:12 again. It's so important. There are three scriptures that are so important. Hebrew 4:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Romans 12:1-3. Those are the only three segments of scripture that divide us rightly. So I want you to get them down. Hebrews 4:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Romans 12:1-3. Now if you write in notes, in Hebrews 4:12 is the power to separate the spirit, soul, and body. That's the only way you can separate the spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians, you're taking note, 5:23 is the way you sanctify the spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And then Romans 12:1-3 is a act of consecration. Separation, sanctification, consecration. Each part of you operating in the proper spot. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You see that? Before 12. Dividing. That word is dividing. A son of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. And is a discerner of the intent thought of the heart. So the soul of the spirit is the very element or the very instrument you have to use. That's the only instrument you can use to rightly, because your soul is such a imitator. But that word, which is spirit, separated. And then we hear the word sanctification, holiness, cleansing, purification. Everybody get nervous because the church have been taught sin and no sin. You know, they've been talk about what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right. Don't just tell me how to do it. If you tell me how to do what's right, I'll do what's right. If you tell me what's running my life now, why I can't get this thing straight. I have prayed, I have said, I have taken communion. I've been baptized twice. Why I can't change this thing? Why I can't change this situation? Why this thing keep holding me down? Because of what I'm teaching you now, law and order in your spirit, your soul, and your body. You're not going to be able to, Romans 12:1, you're not going to be able to present your body just like that. Because your body says, I don't want to go. Your body says, I like that over there. Because your body is worldly. Oh, my. Your soul is worldly. Your thinking is worldly. Your imagination is worldly. Unless you change it. Romans 12:1 says, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Then it tells you, be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove whether that good. Now watch what it says. Acceptable and perfect will of God. Three stages. Good, acceptable, and perfect. You might be just at the good. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then it talks about your spirit in Romans 12:1-3. Somebody ought to shout off this, what I'm about to say now. You will not be bounced around in life no more. The church been like a basketball. Been bounced around. But when you know what to do, you know how to handle it, you won't be bounced around anymore. So write that down. My bouncing days are over. Your understanding of this lesson will empower you to rob the enemy of all he has stolen from you. Everything that the devil has stolen from you, once you learn this lesson, you're going to take it all back. I mean, we're going to go back years and years when you was a teenager and take back what he stole from you because you didn't know no better. You are a Christian, But you didn't know no better. He was stealing from you. You didn't know how he was stealing from you. You were fighting. You wanted to live right. But he still robbed you of certain things. Well, you're going to get it back. Look at this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:45. We need to understand this scripture before I start getting into some other thing. And I want to say this. Look at me. I want to say this. To a certain extent, every one of us here, our soul has been a vagabond. Because if you don't know how to correct him, if you don't know what he's doing, let's take him as a poison now, spirit, soul, and body. Let's take all of them as a poison. If you don't know what that soul is doing, he'll be a vagabond on you. You don't even know it. Now, this scripture here divides up. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made of what? Made of what? Y'all don't talk loud enough.
A living soul.
A living soul, all right. The last Adam was made what? All right, what you living as, a living soul or a quickening spirit? That's your problem. You see what I'm saying? See, your living spirit, your quickening spirit is supposed to run your living soul. See, when Adam fell, your soul can't go back where it originally was. But your spirit can address your soul and take it back to the Garden of Eden. Are you following me? That's powerful. Say that's powerful. All right. Now. This is not going to sound right. I'll tell you right now. Not to a fleshy Christian. And not to the same old Christian. This is not going to sound right. The enemy desire is to cut you off through your soul. Of being spiritual. He want to cut you off before you get to become spiritual. Being able to carry out and receive what God wants you to have. In life to glorify his kingdom. He want to cut you off with your soul. He want to give you some religion. He wants you to pat your feet, clap your hand. But he don't want you to be able to stand with revelation and understanding and wisdom and power. So he works through your soul. Look at Romans 7:20. Put it on the Amplified Bible form. Amplified Bible, Romans 7:20, because I'm going to go into life chapter this morning for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I'm going to go into life chapter for a few minutes. Law and order. Law and order. If you don't have things in law and order. Listen, this grace message, talking without law, it ain't real.
Come on. That's right.
No, God got law. God's word is law. God said, you do this and I'll do that. You don't do this, I can't do that. I'll take it to a powerful law in a few minutes, but that law has to work in your spirit. And next 20 minutes, the Holy Ghost is going to invade this place. In the next 20 minutes, the Holy Ghost is going to invade this place. I'm just talking right now, but the Holy Ghost, the letter without the spirit cannot produce what God wanted. So the Holy Ghost has to come. And touch us. Not in our soul. In our spirit. So I want you to be open to be touched today by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost has been waiting on this message for you to know the difference between your spirit and your soul, that you can start taking things out that need to be taken out, putting things in that need to be put in. Are y'all listening? What did I tell you, John? All right, I told him put it on the board, 7:20, Amplified Bible. You need to see this. Romans 7:20. You need to see this. This principle that Satan is using. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, what? What? Let me ask you this question. Anybody ever done something they didn't desire to do in yet? Y'all a bunch of liars. Oh, y'all have done that. Y'all want to be all holy, got your hand down. I ain't never done nothing I ain't want to do. You lying. No, I can't preach to a bunch of liars. Satan got us on the beginning. I've done things I didn't want to do. Now put your hand up, y'all. You know you've done things you didn't want to do. Judge, I didn't see your hand. You know you. You, everybody in here, because you're a human being. Don't be ashamed to tell the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. I'm emphasizing this because we're going to put a stop to it. I'm emphasizing this because this verse revealed why you did what you didn't want to do, and today it's going to be revealed to you how not to do what you don't want to do. I'm just trying to get you to go with me, though, but I want you, putting them religious clothes on me. I ain't never done nothing I didn't want to do. Can you? You probably have done more things you don't want to do than what you do want to do. If you tell the truth about it. Now, look what this verse revealed to us. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, now watch this. It is no longer I doing it. What? What? Well, who doing it then? It is not myself that act. What? Come on now. But the sin, what? But the sin principle still, wait a minute, no, still can work in a Christian. It don't mean you're out because you sin. It just means you're being robbed and you got to know how to correct it. I'm preaching right now. But the sin principle, which dwell within me, oh no, not me. I'm a holy roller. I'm a child of God. I took communion last second Sunday. Which dwell within me, fixed. Let me give you a little secret here now. Your soul is not saved. What? So that's why so long he's been having us in limbo, because he's been making us think our spirit and soul is the same thing. Your soul, your mind, oh Lord. Your conscience, your imagination, huh? Talk to me. Oh, here's a big one. Here's a big one he robbed us with. Your emotion. Oh, we love emotion in the church. We love. Oh, shuck it now. The Lord have it. I can't pay my house no, but oh, shuck it now. No, I want some revelation, man. I don't mind having a little excitement and emotion, but I need to know what to do Monday. What's the well within me fixed and what? Where?
In my soul.
Where?
In, my soul.
In your soul. Still, your soul is not born again. Your body is not born again. Your soul, listen, you think you'll hear me, but I want you to hear me. Your soul and body are vehicles for your spirit. The spirit has to be in charge. You're born again in your spirit. Do you have that?
Yes,
see, let your soul need to be drove by your spirit. Your body need to be drove by your spirit. Your spirit is where your power is. Your God nature is. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. Stay with me a minute. Let me develop this. I'm going to take you somewhere now that's going to put you in position to grab some of the stuff we're talking about. All right, you saw Ephesians 2:10 said that God wants to live the good life. Turn to Philippians 2 now. Let me walk through some things with you for a few minutes. Philippians 2:12. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many of y'all know? Now just be honest with me. Be honest with me this time. That there's some changes need to be made in your life. I ask you how long you've been going to church. Because most people go to church are defeated. But how many of y'all know that God is more than you having? And you'd like to have some more. And how many of y'all know that God want to move in your life more than he's been moving in your life? How many of y'all know you're stronger than what you're seeing? How many of y'all ready to break out? This passage in Philippians whipped me for many years until I come to further understanding. I'm going to make a statement here that's going to shake the religious world. But I need to say it because the religious world need to be shooken. And the statement is, I got to get back to the statement. The statement is, I need to know how to work out my salvation. I need to know how to work out my salvation. I have salvation, but I need to know how to work it out. I need to know how to work out my deliverance. I need to know how to work out my provision. I need to know how to work out my protection. See, I know I'm born again. But hear this scripture telling you about working your salvation out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You don't want to hear it with your lazy self. You don't want to hear it. But you have to. Well, for my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, Paul said, but not now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation.
Yes,
what?
Yep.
With fear. And it didn't tell you to save yourself.
Right.
But because you save, it does not mean that there's something you have to do in order to appropriate what God had done for you. See, it's not you just saying a prayer, just reading a scripture. You need to understand what's my part to let this happen. See, because I see the look on your face. See, most people think salvation is just about going to heaven.
Yes.
Or not going to hell, going to heaven. No, you got a salvation down here.
Yes, sir.
Where you can live a certain way because you have insight, enlightenment, and empowerment you putting into play.
Yes.
See. You're not powerful in your soul. You're powerful in your spirit. But you can take the power out of your spirit and put it in your soul. You can take the power out of your spirit, watch this, and put in your body. You can take the power out of your spirit and put in your life of faith. But you got to do it. But your soul quickly become an imitator. And most Christians live in a soulish life instead of a spiritual life, or they live in a sensical life. Three of them, write them down. Spiritual life, soulish life, a sensical life. Choose what one you've been living. If you're not living in total victory, you're in your soul. Listen, are you listening? I'm almost through. Listen. Law and order. In your spirit, soul, and body. Somebody, see, you're talking about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I thought I was saved. Your soul not saved, your body not saved, and where you're living at not saved. Your house not saved. Your community not saved. All right, look at the next verse. Verse 13. He's trying to do it. For this God was working in you both to do his will and to do of his good pleasure. God wanted done, but we got to know how to cooperate with him. I'm going back to Creflo Church. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm saying. Y'all ain't paying no attention. I'll go back to Atlanta and preach where that girl saw me. Me and her go get in the car and get in the friend and go back over there. You'd have some good church if somebody won't hear what you're saying. Now I'm going to tell you your greatest problem and your greatest solution right now. Because you're supposed to be living. I want you to turn to Ephesians 1. This is so powerful. I've been trying for years to find out how to rightly divide this word where people can see it instantly and apply it in their life. In Ephesians 1, I want you to go to Ephesians 1, and I'm going to tell you three things out of Ephesians 1, and I'm going to tell you where you've been getting hookwink at. Man, that clock had 31 minutes, and I thought I had 3 minutes left. I said, oh, Jesus. I done got lost in the spirit world. Here's the divine order. Let me give you a divine order and show you how to get there. The divine order, the first thing on your agenda when you're operating in your spirit is your calling.
Yep.
Yep.
Come
on, sir. Your priesthood. First thing, your witnessing. No, we ain't asked for no car yet.
Come on.
We ain't asked for no house. We didn't ask for no healing yet. Nothing. We ain't asked for no healing. We didn't ask for our wife or husband. The first thing on your agenda is your calling. Your priesthood, your witness. You fulfilling John 14:12, the greater works. That's the first thing on your agenda. See, but your soul not going to go with you because your soul always wants something. Your spirit won't cooperate with God. So what your soul have given you a substitute for your first love. When you got saved, boy, you love all God. Yes. Then you start seeing stuff the next day. All right? Are you seeing me?
Yes,
see? So the first thing on the agenda of your life must be your calling,
yes,
your priesthood, your ministering, your witnessing. You're telling somebody about Jesus. You're getting somebody delivered. You're letting signs, wonders, and miracles flow through you to somebody else's life. Wait now. I'm going to show it to you in the scripture. The second thing is, oh my. The second, say second.
Second.
Not for a second.
Second.
Your inheritance. But what fights in the average Christian life? What they want first? What they're praying about? What they're... cast out devils about. Their inheritance. You're out of plans. God can't answer you. You're trying to get stuff God can't trust you with. Because they're going to take you further from him. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do yet. And if I give you something else, you're going to go further from doing what you need to do. You left your first calling. You left your first love. Your calling. And you're going after your inheritance. Thirdly, power to do both. Not one. Oh my goodness. Power to do both. Power to carry out your calling. Power to receive your inheritance. Give me three fingers. Hold them tight. Hold three fingers. We must keep this as we keep, listen, as we keep our spirit, soul, and body in order. Spirit first, soul second, body third. We must keep this calling in place. What am I doing for Jesus? After I get my lazy self from here, what I'm going to do till next Sunday? Am I open for God to use me as a priest? I wear a priest's anointing. Say it.
I wear a priest's anointing.
I need to use it. So we're going to look in the scripture now.
Yes, sir.
And why you have not been doing it, because you've been soulish.
Yes.
The soul cannot move in the spirit. It can only imitate a spiritual move. Three things. What do you have first? What have you been talking to God about? Your inheritance? Your blessing? You never talk to him about your calling? Let me show you where you messed up at before I show you the scripture. Look in Romans 8:28. Look in Romans 8:28. All your blessing about to flow on you right now. You see, when you get this divine order straight, and we know, and we're not guessing about it, and we know that all things work together for good.
Yes,
look, for them that what? So now I say, Holy Ghost, now we have loving God, stepping into your calling, then you'll step into your inheritance, and you're given power to do all four. Because of Romans 5:5. Look at Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. In the seven churches in Revelation, they were exalted, and then some was rebuked. And one of them was, God said, I got this against you. You've left your first love. You're going behind a car.
Come on now.
You're going behind a house, and you ain't never told nobody nothing about me. You taking scriptures trying to make me violate myself. See, there are some things that you're acting like you got a revelation. But you really don't have a revelation. You've been deceived. If you get this, go back to Ephesians 1 now. Oh, I feel like dancing. Because I know this is going to work for you. I don't care. I don't even care about your emotion this morning. I know this is going to work for you. I know you're going to know who in operating. This didn't look like it's my soul doing this. Or this is my senses doing this. This is not my spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this law and order, I'm almost through. What's the matter with you? This law and order, every problem you got is solved this morning. Every way the enemy have ever tricked you these 47 years you've been in the church, yes, will be corrected today. Yes. Law and order. Law and order. Ah, oh, Lord, help me with these times. Hold the time for me, Lord. Listen. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to stop and show you something. Listen to what Paul said in his prayer of thanksgiving, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Are you with me? Yes, sir. That the God, now listen, watch this voice now. Watch this voice. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? And what else? The soul of wisdom. The sense of wisdom. How many of you all, under the sound of my voice, know how many kinds of wisdom the Bible talks about? Don't holler out if you don't know what you're talking about. How many of y'all know how many kinds of wisdom the Bible talks about? And only one work in your spirit. That's four. Write them down. Four kinds of wisdom. Earthly. Sensual. Devilish. And godly wisdom. James chapter 3. You don't need to go there. Write it down. I want you to read it. I might get to it next Sunday. But there's four kinds of wisdom. Three of them work in your soul or work in your senses in any kind of way they can work. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. But there's the God kind of wisdom that is from above. It's peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated without hypocrisy. Yes, okay, so you can think you're operating in wisdom. Yes, sir. Satan has a fake wisdom that he gives you. He gives you a little insight on something, and you think you're all that, and he still got you under his control because you're not peaceable, you're not approachable. You got nasty ways, but you think you're powerful. You can't be powerful with nasty ways. Treating people any kind of way, not loving people, you can't. You ain't wise. The real wisdom will help somebody, not hurt somebody. The real wisdom can forgive people when they're weak and still love them. You can't do that on your own. You got to do that in your spirit. So when a person talking about they got wisdom, what kind of wisdom do you have? The wisdom of God can only, it's a manifold wisdom, it can only operate in your spirit. Your soul can't have a peace all the time. Your soul won't cuss sometimes and fuss and fight. Your soul is not saved. Your soul can become Satan's agent.
Yes, sir.
Camouflage as a spirit. Your soul is an imitator. Your soul without your spirit is a movie actor in a play. Your soul is Denzel being somebody he's not. Playing a role with no reality. Your soul is an actor. It doesn't have no facts.
Wow.
Now, let me see how many people are going to be truthful here. I've been robbed. See, because now it's not your fault, because in the church we've taught that your spirit and soul is the same thing. Then, so here's the excuse. Everybody got to sin sometime. No, no. See, but that's making excuses because you don't know how to operate in your spirit. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, so we're in the 18th verse, 17th verse, Ephesians 1. The eyes, 18th verse, of your understanding being what? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That is. Those three, here it is. If you've been out of order, let's get it in order now. Let's get this thing in order. This is divine order. The hope of his calling. The calling is your first prayer. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not, Lord, what would you have me to have? Lord, what you would, the calling. Say the calling.
The calling.
Oh, no, say the calling.
The calling.
It's first. Now, let me ask another question. I got to make this thing real. I got to make it real. I got to make it real. I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord. How many of you, your calling been first? I was just wishing for one lie to hold a hand up. One lie. Your calling been first. Because how many of y'all have prayed as much about your calling as you have prayed about your inheritance? How many of y'all have prayed, Lord, send me the witnesses somewhere in this city? More than you have said, Lord, help me, my leg hurt, and I need some money in my finances. I just want to make it real to you. See, you have, and what I'm doing for you, what the Holy Ghost is doing for you? He's putting you back in place, and all your blessings are going to start flowing. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not what I want you to do for me. So here we got calling. You see? Paul praying for them to understand that. So Leroy, Apostle Leroy is praying now for the church here in Darrow, that y'all can see the divine order. Spirit, soul, and body. Calling, inheritance, and power. Now, the power cannot be really given to you just for inheritance. Oh, John. You heard that?
Yes,
see, the power can't really, see, he can't give you full power if you just think about inheritance.
Jesus.
You see what I'm saying, daughter? You see, the you can't have full power just wanting a car and a house and all your bills paid.
Yes, sir.
And you want your health, too. See, the full power can't come unless the first two in place. That's why Jesus at 12 told his mama, he said, it's time to be by my father's business. I got a time. It's time to be my father. You my mama, but I got to be by my father's business.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Lord. That's why God said, I didn't come to send peace. I come to separate you from your sister, your brother, your mama, and your daddy. Woo. If they don't want to do what I call them to do, I'm cutting you loose.
Jesus.
You got to cut your mama loose.
Come
what?
On.
I said, Jesus, what kind of Jesus is this? You got to cut your daddy loose. If they're not going with me in the spirit, you put me first. I ain't coming behind your mama.
Come on.
Your mama's not before me. I don't care how much she cried. I won't accept second place. Don't tell me I'm not preaching. Get away from here. I'm trying to tell you where you can really walk in this thing, man. See, the calling, what got to come first? The calling. You call, girl. You saved? You saved? You're a Christian? You born again? You know it without a shadow of doubt? You call in to be a witness, to work for God. You know why I'm so blessed? Materially, in every way, I got a good wife. You know why I'm so blessed? I got this thing in order. You ask anybody who know me what come first. Ain't no inheritance coming first. I live in a mansion. But it don't come first. It came after I start following my calling. God said, I want to set you up so you can go do it like be comfortable and be blessed. I give you power to get wealth now. But the power to get wealth didn't come first. The power to fulfill my calling came first.
Yes, sir.
My. There's some power waiting on you.
Yes, sir. My God.
The stuff that you've been asking for, you don't have to ask for it no more. Today, Ephesians 3:20, I receive, sir. Come alive in your life. Turn to it. Turn to it. I've told you how to loose Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20 in your life. You don't have to ask for it. Just think about it. When you do, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that working. What power are we talking about? He's talking about that power that understand the calling come first. And the inheritance come second. I'm not only preaching it to you, I'm living it. I have the calling first and everything else just coming, running behind me. Everything says, hey, hey, Leroy, you want this? Hey. Got cars won't come park by my house. They just cause to take me over by his house. It's so powerful. See, everybody here get out of debt this morning. Just listen to me. Sickness and disease. You get delivered from all sickness and all disease because you got the divine lineup. The power gonna start working in your life so great now because you got your calling lineup. Calling first, what next? Don't get it mixed up. The church teaching about inheritance. They're not teaching about calling. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on. This is your day. You're going to put your spirit first. You're going to listen to the Holy Ghost. You're going to listen to the Spirit of God. And your soul going to obey your spirit. And your body going to obey your soul. You know the reason you couldn't put your calling first? Huh? You've been operating soul based. And your soul ain't thinking about your calling. Your soul will give you a part of your inheritance to keep you out your calling. So you think you're doing good because you got two cars. You ain't doing good till you got two cars without a car note. Debt cancellation don't come to people who don't have their calling straight. Right. Oh, I know you know all the scriptures, all the pep scriptures, the prosperity scriptures and abundant scriptures and the increase scriptures, but it's dead as long as you don't know your calling. You are called to preach the gospel. Once you got saved, everybody become a preacher. You got to testify of Jesus' goodness. You are not rich until you have a revelation of your calling. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you until all the families of the earth be blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
I preached more than you heard yet this morning. Your life has been changed. Children, you need to listen to this tape because Now you got it divinely lined up. You see, we've been inheritance orientated. Watch this now. Sit down. Let me show you this. I want to look at you. Inheritance oriented, trying to get a soul manifestation. Every time Satan whoop a Christian, that Christian is either living in their soul or sin. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
All your blessings are jammed up in your calling. Once you become open to your calling, your blessing is going to open a gate, windows, and doors are going to come open. And all your blessings will start coming to you. Law and order. Spirit, soul, then body. Calling, inheritance, then power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me try to finish reading this. 19, verse 19. I want to go back to verse 18. Now that you understand being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what's the riches of the glory of inheriting the saint. That's the third part, verse 19. Was exceeding great of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Those three you got to see. You see it?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Let me close. So we have, write it down. The soulish man with my broken English, which ain't gonna get it. We have the sensical man, the man of the senses, ain't gonna get it. But we have the spiritual man or the spiritual woman, that's the one gonna get it. Now, let's look at one other scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is the life chapter. Romans chapter 8 is leaving the flesh chapter in Romans 7 and 6. And it's going into the life chapter. And there's no life without spirit. So Romans chapter 8 is the life and spirit chapter where you can live out of your spirit and not live out your soul. And look how it began, children. Look how it began. Oh, my God. Look how it began. All them things you've been doing, you didn't want to do. You wanted to do them no more. Look what this first verse said. There is therefore now no condemnation to them to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now here. Who walk. Come on, so read it with me. Who walk what? Now, you think when he said walk not after the flesh, you think he's talking about your body. Because your body is flesh. But he's talking about the carnal nature that is in your soul. Your soul is not born again. So you could read that. He had to walk after his soul without his spirit. The who that walk after his thinking, walk after his emotion, walk after his will, walk after his desire. Walk after his imagination.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Walk after his conscience,
yes,
or her conscience.
Yes,
so it seemed like to a large extent, almost the whole church been living under condemnation.
Yeah.
Because they've been walking after the flesh and didn't know it. If you live a half-decent life, I ain't walking after the flesh. But your soul, listen, good God Almighty. There's therefore now no condemning them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, who walk not after the soul, who walk not after the body, who walk not after the senses. Yes, now, verse 2, shake this grace message that they're trying to teach all over the world. You know, you just get, just do what you want to do. God love you. We all going to heaven. You're all right. All right, you'll be shaking hands with the wrong person. God called you to live a holy life. Yes, and he give you the power to live it. Yes, God called for a man to have one woman. Yes, and she could be his wife. Yes, a woman to have one man, that's her husband. Yes, but you don't supposed to have no man. Look, look, this seeker sensitive and this charismatic is not going to take over the truth. Don't jump around. I got charisma. Yeah. But charisma is not anointed. Talent is not anointed. Just because you got 5,000 people at the church on Sunday morning, that don't mean you're going the right way. Watch this. I was taking you somewhere to show you something. Verse 2. Romans 8:2. Everybody say Romans 8:2. Look what it says. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now I close with this. And I might pick that up because the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus can only operate in your spirit. Your soul can't handle it. But the law of sin and death still can operate in your soul. I feel somebody don't believe me. That's okay. I'm going to keep teaching until you do believe it. Why we got so many side-wide Christians if it ain't true? Why we got so many people born again, actually saved, but living like a jack? Why we got so much sin in the church, preachers and all, whoring around, doing all kind of stuff, stealing, all kind of stuff, lying? Because they in their soul don't know it. They got scripture. They got a growl. Got a growl. In the morning. They got a growl. So it ain't the growl. Look at that, got a hole in the ground. You know, the Bible talks about holiness, you know that, right? Now, do it God way or do it your way, you decide. Stand on your feet. And I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to help you. Now I trust the Holy Spirit to come behind me when you're sleeping in visions and dreams and understanding and wisdom to show you what happened to you today. Something happened to you today. Something happened to me today. You're here and you're not born again. Jesus said that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're not here. You're here and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to step out and come stand with me this morning. Secondly, if you're here and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to leave your seat and come here this morning. Stand at this altar. I want to pray with you. If God is leading you to be a member of Word of Life Christian Center, I don't want to be guessing about who I'm pastoring. I need for you to take membership. I need you to come stand right here. Say, Pastor, God is leading me to this church. I want you to come stand right here. If you're in a backslidden condition and you need to be ministered to, I want you to come stand at this altar this morning for invitation to be saved, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, church membership, or you're in a backslidden condition. I want you to come this way if that's you. We'll wait on you a while. Want the saints to start praying, check people next to you, make sure nobody leave behind a message like this, that they understand their divine right to operate in God's spirit, that they are powerful beings, and if anybody here not saved, not born again, don't leave this place. You watching by television, thousands and thousands of you are watching. If you're not born again, click that number. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I say to you, if you can't find a church in your state, I have a lot of members online. I never thought I would do that. But after I saw the lack of teaching and understanding, I went on to acknowledge. So I got members online here until we can find them a church close to them. Is that you? Is the Lord talking to you? You need to be up here? Come this way. Come this way. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Christian in attitude of prayer. As soon as the conviction of the Holy Spirit touch you, come walk, start walking this way. Holy Spirit, touch people who need to be touched. I'll wait on you a few moments. I'm not going to rush it. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You need a church that's going to teach you the Word of God. Or you want to come out of backslidden condition, and maybe your soul have robbed you and you have not known how to walk in the Spirit, walk by faith. But this is your day. This is your day. Are you here? Hallelujah. Come this way. Convicting power of the Holy Ghost arrest you this morning. Glory. All right, check the people around you. Make sure somebody needs you to walk with them. Walk with them. We want to put our call in first. Our call in here this morning is to minister to people. Be minister to and minister to people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, lift your hand and praise God. Thank God.